L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim. Baruch atah melech olam shekum. Okay, here we are. Mishkan Tzipora. Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Daf Lamed Gimel for Lag BaOmer, Amud Aleph. What? Shalom, you look like you've already had your hair cut.
Yes, I did last night.
Oh. Okay. The Mishnah had talked about, the Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had listed all types in the previous Amud. The Mishnah had listed all the Isurim that one cannot violate in order to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. Steve Kirshner.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late. I'll mute myself due to background noise.
No, you just missed the L'chaim.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
We had ice cream for my daughter's birthday. That's kind of like a L'chaim.
I guess it is. only if it's rum raisin. So the Mishnah had said all these types of things that you're not allowed to do in order to accomplish Tkiyat Shofar. Like you can't violate Tchum Shabbat, and you can't swim across the river, and you can't climb up the tree. All of these different Isurei Shvut can't be violated. And then it also mentions Ein Ma'akvin et Atinokot Militkoa. One need not prevent small children from blowing the shofar. Unclear if we mean on Shabbat or even during when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week. Aval mit askini mahem ad shilamdu. But you can be occupied with them. You can preoccupied with them so that they should learn how to properly blow the shofar. Vahamitasek lo yatsa. Vahashomea minamitasek lo yatsa.
How do you define, in the most technical sense, like to sing? Is it just to be playing around? Is it training? Is it...
Well, that's the problem, because here the word is used twice in one sentence, and it could be that there are distinctions of the use. Generally speaking, in halacha, this category of mitasek, I feel that I have certain set pieces that if we've been learning together, you've heard it many times.
Yeah, you expect the artist to play his hits, you know, that's the...
Yes, on my greatest hits list. In other words, you know, like the jokes, you don't need to tell the joke, you just need to tell the punchline. My father was a Kohen, his father was a Kohen, I don't need to tell that joke. And Adarabba, like, to tell the joke kills it, because it's like such a well-worn joke, right?
Right.
Or... if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Har Sinai but not given us the Torah, right? You know, like anybody above the age of Gil Mitzvot who would like say such a thing at the Seder table would be laughed out of the room. The most well-worn chestnut. So, okay, I don't have to explain the whole sugya to you because you can check your notebooks. If I tell you, you take a baseball bat and a tennis ball and you're shooing the bird out of the sukkah, but in fact it's a lulav and an esrog. Right? That's an example of mitasek. You were asuk, you were occupied doing something else, or better yet to say, preoccupied doing something else. And quite by accident, out came the mitzvah. You performed a mitzvah act unbeknownst to you. Or, in technical terms, with negative kavana. Or with no kavana. Not negative kavana, no kavana. Right? Normally, in the larger sugya of mitzvot srichot kavana, we say mitzvot enan srichot kavana, with certain exceptions. What does that mean? If you have the bare minimum awareness that this is a lulav and this is an esrog and today is sukkis, beyond that, you don't need kavana. It's good to have kavana. It's good to have like very exalted thoughts, but it is not required to fulfill the mitzvah. Mitzvot einan srichot kavana. All you need to be aware is that you are performing a mitzvah. That is likely the reason that Chazal instituted Birkot HaMitzvah. Because what is Birkot HaMitzvah? It's a declaration, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotah V'Tzivanu XYZ, that the act I am about to do is a mitzvah that I am commanded in and I am intending on fulfilling it. And it's a verbal declaration that you're aware of what you're doing, and beyond that, you don't need. That's why the Litvaks do not participate in the Hineni Muchan HaMuzumans. Right, you know that ditty. You've been to. You remember Shul. Remember Shul. Right, we in the, remember the good old days. We used to sing Hineni Muchan HaMuzumans. Don't tell me that you do that when you're at home for Sfirat HaOmer. Right, I mean, even those that recite the Hineni, they don't. They don't say. Maybe some people do. I don't know, but I personally never. The Litvaks never say the Hineni Muchan HaMuzumans. Because it's miutar. That's the purpose of the Birkot HaMitzvah, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotah V'Tzivanu Al Sfirat HaOmer. Right? It's a declaration that what you're doing is, in fact, the mitzvah. But anything else is mitasek. So you know there's a shaila last night. If you say, before you daven, before you say Sfirat HaOmer, if you say, hey, it's Lag BaOmer, whether or not you could then count with a bracha. Because by saying it's Lag BaOmer, technically you've counted, not in an ideal way. So, you know, this is a shaila people talk about. It might be like the number two shaila, you know, like after, you know, like at a bar mitzvah. The kid becomes bar mitzvah during Sfirat HaOmer. Like, can he continue counting with a bracha? As before the bar mitzvah, he counted with a bracha because of chinuch. But after the bar mitzvah, he's born on Lag BaOmer, after the bar mitzvah, maybe he has to stop saying a bracha because he hadn't counted all those days. His counting before was not real counting. It was only counting for chinuch. It's a kind of, it would be ironic if that was the halacha, that before his bar mitzvah, he counts with a bracha and he doesn't miss a single night. And then after the bar mitzvah, he has to stop. This is discussed at length in the Minchas Chinuch, and if you've ever been to a bar mitzvah during Sfirat HaOmer, no doubt you've heard this discussed. But if you say Stam, it's Lag BaOmer, or if somebody says to you, like what, like you know, my wife will sometimes say to me after dinner, she always counts Sfirat HaOmer right before, right after dinner, depending upon what time we're eating and when the tzeis is. So she'll say, you know, what's it? So you know the joke. My wife is so frum. I asked her, what do we have for dinner last night? Well, I said, what's for dinner tonight? And she said, well, last night we had roast beef. You know that joke?
Yeah.
David, you don't know that joke?
No, I know that joke. Yeah. I've heard it. No, the case I heard was the schnitzel, but I guess in your house, she dropped him to that roast beef.
Yeah, roast beef. So my wife will say, what night of the Omer is it? And I'll say, last night we had roast beef. Oh, I can't tell you. She gets a good laugh out of this every night. She never gets tired of it. But if you say like, if somebody says, what night is it? And you say it's Lamed Dalet or it's 34 before you had performed. So there's a Shaila if you've already been Yotze. So according to most opinions, you can still count with a bracha. Even though we're makbid, not to say, oh, we have to go to the midurah because it's Lag BaOmer, right? Before you've counted with a bracha, lamaisa, you can count with a bracha. Why? Because merely saying it's Lag BaOmer is a form of mitasik, right? You were just preoccupied with something else, but you had no intention to fulfill the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer with that. So mitasek is you're preoccupied with something else and by accident out came a mitzvah. Or, mi'idach, out came an avera. Right? In Shabbos, if you're doing something, if you're preoccupied with something else, and it's like a form of shogeg. Right? There's shogeg, you didn't know it was usher to turn on the light. Or it's shogeg, you didn't know it was Shabbos. Shogeg. What?
It's even less than shogeg.
It's even exactly. It's less than shogeg. In other words, it's so less than shogeg. You don't have to bring a shkaga, right? But it's, if you forget that it's Shabbos, or you forgot that it's usher to turn on the light, That's a shogeg. An even lower form of that is mitasek, right? You're walking down the hallway and you brush against the light switch. That's mitasek, right? It's completely lacking in any kavana, right? When you turn on in the shogeg case, you know you're turning on the light switch, right? You're just missing one of two determinant pieces of knowledge: that it's usur, or that it's Shabbos. So that again, here we can insert another joke that only needs the punchline. I'm sorry, Rebbe, I forgot to pull down the shade.
Forgot to what?
It's a famous joke about the maskilim in Volozhin. Three maskilim in Volozhin are sitting in their room smoking on Shabbos, and the Rebbe passes by and sees them through the window. And one says, "Oh Rebbe, I'm sorry, I forgot it was Shabbos." And the other one says, "Oh Rebbe, I'm sorry, I forgot you're not allowed to smoke." And the third says, "Oh Rebbe, I'm sorry, I forgot to pull down the window shade."
Nice.
So that's a joke that you shouldn't need me to tell. I guess you just know the punchline. Okay, those are some working definitions of mitasik. Now the Gemara.
I think, did you maybe skip a bit ahead? I don't think we got to the Shema Kavin in the last time we were learning. Am I wrong?
No, we're here. We're on Lamed Gimel in the first wide line, because we already talked about the urine.
Right. No, but I thought when you just started talking about the mitasek, that was in the middle, no?
No, that was the Mishnah. I went back to the Mishnah. I went back to the Mishnah.
Oh, okay.
So now,
maybe we're to put where you are in the...
No, so now we're here. Ein ma'akvin...
Okay.
Ein ma'akvin et ha-tinokot militkoa. Ha-nashim ma'akvin. However, the Gemara says... Let me open my Gemara. But the Gemara says, but if a woman... blows the shofar on, let's assume we're talking about Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos. That if a woman blows the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, ma'akvin, you would prevent her from doing it. Vahatanya, but there's a question. The Gemara says, the Braisa teaches, ein ma'akvin lo et anashim v'lo et tinokot militkoa b'yom tov. That's our Mishnah said, you don't have to stop children from blowing the shofar. So the Gemara wants to infer, but women you should stop. And the Braisa says that you don't have to stop women. So there's a stira. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing. Let's go. Omar Abaye, lo kasha. No, there's no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, vaha Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. It's two different shitot. The Mishnah, which implies that you would prevent women from blowing the shofar, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braisa, which does not require you to prevent women from blowing the shofar, is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. What is that opinion? Who's making that noise? Shalom, I just muted you. You were making all types of noise. D'tanya, daber el b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael somchin, v'ein b'not Yisrael somchot. There's a separate sugya altogether about smicha, not ordaining women to be rabbis, but smicha, the laying on, the pressing the hands onto the head of the korban. When a bala korban brings a sacrifice as a sin offering, so they say vidui for the sin that required them to bring their korban. And they press down on the head of the animal with all their might. with great force. That's called smicha. It's not connected to smicha, meaning ordination, only in the sense that ordination is conveyed by the master putting his hands, somchim et yadav, on the head of the disciple. So when women bring karbanot, and of course women can bring karbanot, women are obligated to bring karbanot under certain circumstances, they do not perform the smicha. They don't lay their hands onto the head of the animal. Why? D'tanya daber al b'nei Yisrael. That's the pasuk in Vayikra that talks about smicha. The Gemara darshins b'nei Yisrael somchin ve'ein b'not Yisrael somchot. Men perform this ritual, but women do not. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Nashim Samchot Rishut. Women are not obligated to put their hands onto the animal, but they're allowed to, if they want to. This is done while the animal is still alive, before the animal is slaughtered. So this machlokas about whether or not women are allowed to optionally do smichat hakarban or not is a subject of a whole variety of machlokas about how to understand it. According to some, women are pturot from doing smicha, since the smicha is a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. It has to be done prior to the sacrifice. The sacrifice can only be done during the daytime. It's a mitzvah taseh, so it's a mitzvah taseh shazman grama, and women are exempt from time-bound positive mitzvot. But generally speaking, we allow women who wish to do time-bound positive mitzvot, as an option, they can do it. Others say that even though women are obligated to bring the korban, they are not allowed to do the shechita. Normally speaking, the way the Beit HaMikdash worked, you brought your korban, you said your vidui, and you did the smicha, but at that point, the Kohanim took over. Technically speaking, the Baal HaKorban is allowed to do the Shechita himself. But women are not allowed to perform the Shechita. So since they can't perform the Shechita, we don't allow them to do the Smicha as well. Since it's part of the Avodah. In other words, it depends on how do you look at it. Is the smicha itself part of the vidui, which obviously the Baal HaKorban must do? Or is it part of the Seder Avodah itself, which since a woman is not able to participate in, she can't be involved in that either? So if it's just the problem is mitzvah aseh shazman grama, so then a woman can opt to do it. Like we allow women to sit in the sukkah and take the shofar and etc. As you know, not take the shofar, hear the shofar and lulav and esrog and all the other things. As you know, the mitzvah aseh shazman grama that women are pturot from are not that many. Many mitzvah aseh shazman grama, women happen to be obligated the same as men, for one reason or another. And many of them have special limudim to explain why it's an exception to the rule. So it turns out that it's a rule that has more exceptions than it has actual implications. So for example, of course, Shabbat. Ein mitzvah taseh shazman grama gedola mizu. It's the biggest mitzvah taseh shazman grama that we have. Women are obligated in Shabbat, in the mitzvah aseh of Shabbat, the same as men. Why? Because the Gemara says that whenever you have a mitzvah aseh and a mitzvah lo taseh that are linked, as Shabbat is, so that anyone who's obligated in the prohibitions of Shabbat, which of course apply equally to women as they do to men, is similarly obligated in the mitzvot aseh of Shabbat. So Kiddush, for example, besides the positive mitzvah of Shabbaton, of experiencing Shabbat as a day of rest, so there's Kiddush and there's other things to Shabbat. It's a machlokus about Havdalah, since after all Havdalah is it the last mitzvah of Shabbat, in which case women are completely obligated, or is it the first mitzvah of the rest of the week, in which case it's viewed as a regular mitzvah that says Shezman Grema. Generally, we paskin that women are makbid to hear Havdalah.
But the question I think there is, like, can they be motzi a man?
Can they be motzi a man? Right. Is it the same level of obligation or not? But you certainly know that for Kiddush, women are equally obligated as men, and a woman can recite Kiddush for a man, whether or not it's the common practice. It is absolutely the case, and we've discussed in the past the famous Akasha of Akiva Eger about there are times where a woman is more obligated in Kiddush than a man, and you either have to figure out a way to level the playing field so that he can be motzi her, or maybe she should be saying Kiddush. There are plenty of times that should be the case.
How about night or day or both?
In theory, both. At night, it's theoretically a mitzvah d'oraita. During the day, l'chol deyot, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. During the day, there really is no kiddush. During the day, there's just the bracha of brei pri hagafen. Right? Everybody understands that if you're going to drink something before hamotzi, you have to say a bracha. We ritualize it by saying some psukim, but the very fact that, you know, no two people say the same version of Kiddush. Some say these psukim, some say those psukim, some say more, some say less, some say nothing at all, and just say Brei Pri Hagafen. But at night, you're aware of this, the Rebbe Kiva Eger that I referred to.
No.
There's a mitzvah asay l'kadesh Shabbat bidvarim. One has to verbally sanctify the Sabbath day. We do that in two ways. We actually say Kiddush twice. Just like, by the way, we say Havdalah twice. How do we say Havdalah twice? In Maariv on Motzei Shabbat, we say Atachanantanu. And then you say the Havdalah service Al Hakos. At what point are you allowed to perform Malacha? Shabbat. Well, Shabbat ends, this past week, Shabbat ends at 8:05. At 8:04, you're not allowed to do Malacha. At 8:07, you're not allowed to do malacha either, even though technically Shabbat has already gone out, until you make a verbal declaration of Havdalah, that you're separating between Kodesh and Chol. So people who don't daven Maariv, you know, like here, like now, we're all at home on Motzei Shabbat before Havdalah. So you want to go and turn on the light before you start davening Maariv. Right? So what do you have to do? So our minhag, we say, Baruch Hamavdi ben Kodesh l'chol. And with that verbal declaration, so the restrictions of Shabbat go away. And you can turn on the light and you can do other malacha. Even though generally speaking, it's good to minimize the malacha you do before you make Havdalah. It's not right what we do. You know, by the time we come home from shul, you get home, what does everybody do? You start with the telephone and you start with the email and you start with checking the headlines and everything else. Really, it's proper to first make Havdalah. It's certainly proper not to change out of your Shabbos clothing until after Havdalah. And just like you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, one is not allowed to eat before Havdalah. So we say Havdalah in Tefillah by saying Atachanantanu, or minimally saying Baruch Hamavdi Ben Kodesh L'chol. You know, the women who often don't go to shul and don't daven Maariv, you know, they sometimes have a half hour before you get home. After Shabbat is over, they want to start whatever it is, getting the house back in order, doing the dishes, whatnot. So they say Baruch Hamavdi Ben Kodesh L'chol before they start doing Malachot. But just like you say Havdalah twice, we say Kiddush twice. How do we say Kiddush twice? If you go to shul Friday night, you say Kiddush in davening. You make a verbal declaration, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. And with a verbal declaration of the sanctity of the day, you have fulfilled your Torah obligation of Kadshehu Bidvarim, sanctifying God in words, in speech. You know, really, and we've talked about this many times, there's an idea of Tosefet Shabbat. Shabbat starts when Shabbat starts. Shabbat starts at Shkia. Our custom is to begin Shabbat, Lehosif Me'achol El HaKodesh. We start 18 minutes, 40 minutes early. We light candles. If you don't light candles, your wife is lighting candles and you go to shul. And you get to shul and it's not Shabbat yet for you. You haven't davened mincha yet. But at what point do the prohibitions of Shabbat kick in for you? So certainly it's at Shkia. In our shul, we've always been careful to see if you compare what time we start mincha in our shul to some other shuls, we are always a couple of minutes ahead. In a lot of shuls, by the time they're done with mincha, or at least by the time they're starting lechun aranana, Shabbat's already come in. Right? It's already shkia. It's already prohibited to do malacha. And therefore, you have not fulfilled Tosefet Shabbat. Because Shabbat was mitkadesh batzmo, right? It came in on its own. You should greet the Shabbat. By the time you're singing lichadodi, sometimes it's already after tzeis hakochavim, depending on who the chazan is. So in order for you to fulfill Tosefet Shabbat, you should verbally be mekabel Shabbat. I always, after mincha, after aleinu, it's always a few minutes before shkia, I always say, harei kedushat Shabbat alai. A verbal declaration of Shabbat, and then I have fulfilled Tosefet Shabbat.
Would the same requirement be if a woman, there are times women like will light candles, but they still know they have a little malacha to do, so they can light and then say
they make a tanai.
So would they also need to be mekabelet alitzman the Shabbat when they? Yes.
Otherwise, they have no Tosefet Shabbat. Has anyone been to Prague for Shabbat? Anyone been to the Altneuschule? So do you recall they have like an unusual custom?
Yes, of saying Mizmoshe Shel Yom HaShabbat twice.
Twice. So why was that?
Because the Maral realized that he had forgotten to turn the column off.
Not the real story. That's not the true story.
It's a story they tell in the shul in Prague.
For whatever reason, in Prague, they used to daven Kabbalat Shabbat early.
Yes.
That is a story that you hear, but that's not the real reason. The minhag in Prague was they daven Kabbalat Shabbat early, and then they went home. And they did other things. And then they would come back to daven Mariv. At what point, let's say some people have the early Shabbat. So there's no, when you make early Shabbat, in the summer at Plag HaMincha, there's no problem. You have oodles of Tosefet Shabbat, right? So you're davening at the Plag HaMincha, early Kabbalat Shabbat. At what point does it become usher for you to do malacha? Well, it's a machlokas. There's a three-way machlokas brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Either it's when you say lichadodi, when you turn around and say boikala, or it's mizmor shir liyom hashabbat, which is after all the oldest layer of the Kabbalat Shabbat. Kabbalat Shabbat is, of course, only Jews would say, well, it's only from the 16th century. It's like a newfangled kind of thing. Let's wait and see if it catches on. But even before the mikubalim and svat instituted what we call the Tefillah Kabbalat Shabbat, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat was part of the Tefillah on Friday evenings. Or, according to the third opinion, not until Baruchu. If you haven't said Baruchu, so then you haven't been Mekabel Shabbat yet. Now, we have to be Machmir to the earliest Shita, which is Lechadodi. If you're at the early Minyan, and you're in the middle of the Mizmorim, and you realize there's still some malacha that you haven't done, you can take care of it. But once you've said lichadodi, you should then refrain from milacha, unless you have kavana, negative kavana, that you're not going to be mekabel Shabbat. So in Prague, what they do is they said it twice. The first time they said it, they weren't yet mekabel Shabbat. And then they went home and tidied up and whatever they did. And then they came back to shul for Mariv and said Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat a second time, L'shem Kabbalat Shabbat. So now you know they have these Zoom Kabbalot Shabbat. I think it's more popular in America than it is here. But Shlomo Katz has been doing it. You know, they have, since we're all davening at home, they have Kabbalat Shabbat on Zoom. And they sing and they whatever. But at what point do you have to say, we got to turn off the computer? Right? So as long as you say, like, let's say you're singing L'chadodi together, you should be choshed to the opinion, to the machmir opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, that you're makabel Shabbat with L'chadodi. Unless you say, we are not, we're singing it just as a song, not as a Kabbalat Shabbat. So you should be careful with that. We got off track through Mitzvah Aseh Shezman Grema.
Well, what was the Rabbi Akiva Eger about?
Rabbi Akiva Eger said, what happens? You come home from shul Friday night. You have already fulfilled your Dioraita obligation of Kiddush by having recited the Tefillah, by verbally having declared in the Shabbat, in the Tefillah, that it's Shabbat. Your wife has already fulfilled her Torah obligation because she lit candles. And by saying, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat, she's made a verbal declaration that it's Shabbat, that it's the holy day. So she now is obligated to recite the Kiddush Alakos like you, only Derabanan. But what about your daughters? Your daughters didn't like candles because, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, he wasn't a Chabadnik, right? His daughters didn't light candles before they were married. But they also didn't daven Mariv. So they are still obligated in Kiddush, min ha-Torah. They have a higher level of obligation than he does. He cannot fulfill the mitzvah for them. Generally speaking, you can only be motzi someone if you're on the same plane of obligation. So, what do you do? I guess he could have said the daughters should recite Kiddush for everyone else. But that wasn't an option for Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he said you should say to your daughters, a good Shabbos, or Shabbat Shalom, or do something to have them verbally indicate that it's Shabbat. And once they've done that, then their obligation has been fulfilled min haTorah, and now they're obligated midrabanan, same as anyone else. Now we're all on an even playing field, and we can, and the father can make Kiddush for the daughters. But before that, there's this curious phenomena in which the teenage daughter is on a higher level of obligation than her father, and he would not be able to recite Kiddush for her.
And going back to my other question about a woman who
lights
candles off night.
This, of course, what about the sons? So there's no imagination that the sons didn't go to shul. But we have a greater imagination than Rabbi Akiva Eger did. We can imagine such a scenario that it applies not just to women, but also to men. I'm sorry, David, what were you saying?
I was just saying that, back to my question earlier about the woman who would light candles off night, so when they made the verbal declaration, even though the time was to have the start later, the verbal declaration they made, even though it didn't
they have not fulfilled their obligation. They've neither been mekabel et Shabbat, nor have they fulfilled their Torah obligation of kiddush bedvarim, of verbal declaration of the sanctity of the day.
So they need to say something.
So they would need
not only for it to establish Shabbat, but they need to say something.
In other words, ideally they would be Makabel Shabbat by saying, by davening, by saying
right,
Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, by something, or minimally saying Shabbat. Yeah.
And that could be something, obviously, that even if they, forgot to do something for Tosefet Shabbat, they would still have the obligation to do that before.
Absolutely. These are two separate dinim. One is the din of Tosefet Shabbat. The other is the din of Kiddush B'Dvarim. Anyway, so let's go back. So, Ein Benot Yisrael Somchot Divrei Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon Omrim Nashim Somchot Birushut. Look at Rashi. Hold on, let me make this bigger. Ha nashim akvin, but you should prevent the women, according to that opinion. You prevent the women from blowing shofar. Dipturot lagamre, says Rashi. Women are completely exempt from blowing shofar. The minhag is that women are very careful about shofar. Women always treated tkiat shofar as something that they were obligated. This was not true about other mitzvot, right? Women were not always careful about sukkah, particularly in places where it was very cold, particularly in places where the sukkah was very small, and there would be maybe no room for the women. Right? Women, there were women who never ate in the sukkah, maybe outside of the first night. Even today, you can go, I remember when I was a teenager going to well-intentioned NCSY advisors in Brooklyn, and people lived in buildings or multifamily homes, and you know they had small sukkot, and only the men went into the sukkah on the first night. What? You don't have to be Haredi to have a tiny mirpeset, but yeah.
No, but you see that they build the buildings in such a way that there's a little bit of space uncovered.
Right, so they build, even these buildings here, they build them so everybody has some kind of mirpeset. But yes, it's true that to us, it's unimaginable. Like, it's unimaginable, like, to go out into the sukkah, you know, for yontif meal with just the men, and the wife and the girls stay inside. Okay, but this was the practice in Europe in many places, and it's the practice even today in certain places. But that wasn't true for shofar. For shofar, women historically were always a makbid to treat it like it is, like they were mechuyavot, right? And we say that the alpi minhag, the women are obligated in shofar. That's why we go to these great lengths to have, there's always a second round of tkiot for the women. And ha nashim akvin de pturot legamre de mitzvah taseh shezman grama. They're completely exempt because shofar, of course, is a mitzvah taseh shezman grama, a time-bound positive mitzvah. Vechi taki ika bal tosif. And if they should blow the shofar, it would be bal tosif. The bal tosif, you know, is the idea that a person, we don't add mitzvot, right? We're not. I don't mean like the rabbis don't mean it. It means that you don't create a new mitzvah. The classic example is if you want to add a fruit to the lulav and etrog. You want to say, okay, lulav, etrog, hadasim, aravot, and also pineapple. I'm going to make a pineapple. So that would be a violation of the Torah principle of bal tosif. You cannot add. Just like there's a mitzvah of bal tigra. You can't remove things from the Torah. But what is this bal tosif? Wait a second. A woman wants to sit in the shofar, in the sukkah. Do we say that's bal tosif? No. A woman wants to take the lulav and esrog. Is that bal tosif? No. So why would this be? Why would this be bal? Why would this be bal tosif if a woman wants to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? And to be clear, Rashi doesn't seem to be... Apparently, it sounds like Rashi means on any Rosh Hashanah. Look, obviously, on Shabbos, nobody blows the shofar. Right? Because we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, comes out on Shabbos. So the Maharsha says, that Maharsha asks the obvious question. Beperish Rashi Dimraskil Han Nashim Vechule, Vechitaki Ika Baltosif Ad Kan Lashano. Lo Yadana My Baltosif Shayachacha. What is he talking about? What Baltosif would apply here? Delo Shayach Lememar Baltosif, Ella Beoseha Mitzvah Umosif Aleha. Baltosif means you do a mitzvah and you expand it. You add something to it, like the fifth min in the lulav. Aval hocha lamale v'chi taki have isura derabanan. The bishelo b'mkom mitzvah ika isura derabanan bitkia. The mukach b'reish perek v'dumya de hocha de mukminan le k'rebi Yehuda. The Omar ein benot Yisrael somchot. Hainu mishum isur avoda bekodshim. So it's not even comparable. In the special halacha by the case of the smicha. So why don't we let the women do the smicha? So maybe it's a mitzvah asei shezman grama. So mitzvah asei shezman grama, we allow women to opt in. So there it might be a special case. It might be a case of someone who is not obligated to do the avoda. There we don't allow it to do. Just like if a Yisrael or a Levi said, I'm not obligated to do the Avodas HaMikdash, but I want to opt in. We would not allow a Zar to do the Avodat HaKohanim in the Mikdash. So women who are not permitted to perform those functions, even functions that non-Kohanic men are allowed to perform, because women can't do the Shechita, so then we don't allow them to do it, but that's not because of Baltosif. It's because of a special din in who can and cannot perform certain avodot in the Migdash. Velo mishum Baltosif, but it's not because of Baltosif. The Masho has a good kasha on Rashi. It happens that this sugya also appears in Eruvin, on Daf Tzadi Vov Omer Aleph, 96a in Eruvin. And there's a long Tosfos that explains or sharpens the question. It says, if Baltosif is the reason that women can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there Tosfos assumes it means on Shabbat. There it presumes on Shabbat. Then that's got nothing to do. In other words, it can't just be on Shabbat, right? In other words, if the problem is Baltosif, that would be true whether it's Shabbat or it's the weekday. So the Gemara says that Dafka, in the case of Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbat, our Gemara is talking about Dafka case of when it comes out on Shabbat. If women can't blow shofar on Shabbat, but can on weekdays, so then the reason for the Isser can't be Baltosif. It must have something to do with Shabbat. So that's why we say that a woman can't blow the shofar on Shabbat. So what's the problem with blowing shofar on Shabbat? In other words, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbat, we say that the mitzvah to blow shofar is overruled. But it's not a malacha to blow a shofar on Shabbat. This Shabbat, it's not Rosh Hashanah. Are you allowed to blow shofar?
Oh.
What?
This Shabbat, no.
It's not Rosh Hashanah. We don't. We don't.
Derabanan, we don't play musical instruments.
Right.
But if you blow the shofar, if you take the shofar on Shabbat afternoon and you start blowing it, you shouldn't do it, of course. But you're not doing malacha.
Right?
Right? You're violating this Isser Derabanan of playing musical instruments on Shabbat. Even, by the way, so the reason we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbat is not because of some malacha, per se, but because of a fear that requiring everyone to hear the shofar would lead to Chilul Shabbat. People would travel, people would carry outside of an Eruv. Last week somebody already speculated, geez, what are we going to do this Rosh Hashanah? if we're not going to be able to go to shul, how are we going to get everyone to hear? How are we going to get everyone to hear the shofar? I hope that won't be the. I hope by then it won't be the case, but could be in some places it'll still be the case.
Who knows?
Let's hope that's not the case.
But according to what you're saying, it actually would be. That's what I didn't understand about Rashi, because I would think because you initially said this was talking about Shabbat. And if we're talking about Shabbat, and you said that Nashim that Makavino time, I would think that you were saying Makavim because they had a possible level of Chiyuv, unlike the kids who had none. If they had some level of Chiyuv, they'd have to be Makavino time on Shabbat, because otherwise maybe they would actually be, it would be a problem for them to go on Shabbat. But for a kid who's just Mitasek, then you wouldn't be Makavim because they don't have any obligation at all. And a woman is a higher level obligation than a kid. Even if it's only, they're Pturot, but the kid is not even, has no obligation at all.
Right. Well, so anyway, so Tosfos there in Erevin says that's why it's forbidden for a woman to do smicha on the korban, since she has no obligation to perform the smicha. So then it's not an optional case of opting to do a mitzvah like normally we allow her to do. It's a case of her performing an unauthorized form of avoda, which is a separate iser in the mikdash, but not because of Baal Tosif. So how do you solve the problem? So it seems clear that Rashi in Erevin, I'm sorry I don't have it here on the screen, he doesn't literally mean Baal Tosif. He means over there, he says mechze ke Baal Tosif. It has an appearance of Baal Tosif, right? It's a Baal Tosif-like phenomena. Not that it's a technical prohibition of Baal Tosif. The Chazal said that women can't do a mitzvah. A woman can't do a mitzvah that she's pturah from if the act of the mitzvah would look like she's adding something. So if Taka, it's Shabbos, and there's no mitzvah to blow shofar, and she wants to blow the shofar because she wants to learn, or because she wants to play around for music, or whatever it is, so then it's mechzek Baal Tosif. It could be misinterpreted as her saying, today there is a mitzvah which in fact does not exist. But when a kid wants to play around with a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, what is that?
Nothing.
What?
It's more, it has no meaning.
It has no meaning, right? It has no meaning. It's mitasek. And therefore you don't have to prevent it.
But the case of a case of blowing, it's not actually kilu creating a new mitzvah, because there is a mitzvah to blow shofar on Shabbat. We just don't do it because
right,
of
well,
the reasons.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. In other words, in practice, there is no mitzvah to blow shofar on Shabbat.
Practice, there's, but how can you even right. remotely call it Baal Tosif?
So that's why he says it's not. That's the answer. It isn't Baal Tosif. He's using Baal Tosif here in a non-technical sense. Right, it's being used as a shorthand to say, to do a mitzvah where there's no mitzvah, even though technically there's a mitzvah which has been suppressed, but to actively do it looks like Adarab. It looks more like not like Baal Tosif. It looks more like
Rashi
like,
should have been more bendayek.
Maybe, but it looks more like a kind of even though we don't have female zaken mamres. But you're going against the takona of Chazal. Right? You're saying, I'm doing a mitzvah that Chazal said we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So in that regard, that's what it means. Baal Tosif, it means in air quotes here.
Yeah, right.
So the Gemara, let's go back to, we have a few minutes left. Aval mitaskin bahem ad shilamdu. So if kids are blowing shofar on Shabbos, so you can be mitasek with them so that they should learn. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Afilu b'Shabbat. Afilu b'Shabbat, you can be You could be mitasek with them. Meaning you're not blowing it, you're letting the kids blow it. You're letting the kids blow it so that they should learn how to properly blow the shofar. Tana nami hochi, there's a, the,
which if it were a real malachi, you wouldn't do.
Right, sure. Tanya nami hochi, there's a brisa that says, mit askin bahem ad sheyilmadu afilu b'shabbat. The brisa is explicit that we're talking about on Shabbat. V'ein ma'akvin hatinokot militkoa b'shabbat. Not only can you be mitasek, but you don't have to stop them. You can be mitasek with them. You don't have to stop them from blowing Shabbat. V'ein sarich lomar b'yom tov. So if they're allowed to do it on Shabbos, kal v'chomer, they're allowed to do it on Yontif. So haguf akasha. So, but that's problematic. Amarta mitaskin b'hem ad shil medu v'afilu b'shabbat. So alma lechatchila omrinan tiku. That sounds like lechatchila you can practice with them on Shabbat, ad shil medu. Right? What's our main job in life is to teach our children, right? So it sounds like not only can you tolerate it, but that you can and should be doing this on Shabbat Rosh Hashanah. Amrinan tik'u v'hadartani ein ma'akvin. So on one hand it says let them blow. They should blow. And on the other hand, it says, you don't have to stop them. One sounds l'chatchila, and one sounds b'di'evid. Ein ma'akvin. Ikuvahu delo ma'akvin. Ha l'chatchila lo. Amrinan tk'u lo kasha. Kan bekatan. Shehegiya l'chinuch. Here we're on Amud Beis. Ve'kan bekatan shelo hegiya l'chinuch. We're talking about two different cases. In the first case, a very small child, you know, little kids, like, you know, 2-3 years old, they love to take the shofar and blow away at it, right? But that child is not yet obligated to learn about, like, shofar. They're not chayiv in shofar. You know, each mitzvah has its own age. When you're supposed to start doing it. When you're supposed to start learning to do it. When you're supposed to start teaching your kids how to do it. You're like when you're little, like when you toilet train, when a kid is toilet trained, you start teaching them about mitzvot. About tzitzit. Right? You buy him a little pair of tzitzit. But you don't start teaching him how to fast on Yom Kippur when he's 3 years old. That's a year, 2 years before Bar Mitzvah. Each mitzvah, the Mishnah says, Lulav and Esrog, you start teaching a kid when they are physically capable of holding a lulav and esrog, an adult-sized lulav and esrog, a proper lulav, not one of these kiddie-sized lulav and esrog. There's no such thing, right? And the mitzvah has to be done the way it's supposed to be done. A lulav and esrog, that's the proper shiur, at the age that they're able to hold it and manipulate it and do the na'anuim, do the shakings up, down, left, right, right? I don't mean like the way you see some kids running around shul like it's a lightsaber. Right? That is not the age of chinuch, if that's all they're able to do. But when a child knows how to hold a lulav and esrog, and maybe say it, you know, at the proper times and movements during the halil, or certainly for the bracha, so that's the age you start teaching them. Each thing is incremental, depending upon when they're able to do it. So what's that age for a shofar? I'm not sure, but we can all imagine a point at which a kid, you know, can blow the shofar, can differentiate between the kolot. So, ha, kan, bekatan, shegia lechinuch. Right? When a child is of the age of chinuch for mitzvot, so then we teach him how to do the shofar in the proper way. But kan, in the other case where we say we prevent him, bekatan shelo higia lechinuch. Right? That's the Bryce is talking about a small child. Right? Him, you don't have to stop him. If he found his way to the shofar, if he left the shofar on a low shelf and he found it on his own, and he started, you don't have to stop him. But neither should you be mitasek imo. Neither should you intentionally make a point of teaching him. Okay. I hope everybody's healthy.
Oh, Hashem.
Thank you.
And hopefully okay. Soon we'll be back together in shul. But in the meantime, we'll meet here again next week.
I'm
good. We could probably meet outside the shul if we wanted to.
Maybe it's dark. We're debating what to do about Shavuos night. If to do, because there's no, you know, it gets chilly and damp outside, and there's no good lighting out in the chatzer of the shul. It's not enough to sit there learning all night. So I'm not sure it's a good plan that we should go back until we're ready to go back inside. I think we'll continue meeting virtually.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Lailatov.
Shkoyach.